Welcome to Player Pass, your weekly Xbox Game Pass podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Fouché, and I'm here to let you know what games you should be playing on Game Pass this week. This is episode 39. So this past week has been a pretty good week with news, and also I'm going to do something a little different than what I've normally done. I'm going to try out looking at two new games that have been added to Game Pass, kind of see what those games are like and which one you might prefer out of the two before you put too much time into either one. Maybe this overview of the two new games will help you jump into one of them, or maybe both of them, or neither one of them. We'll see. But there has been some big news, and as y'all all know, I'm a huge Grounded fan, so this is the first little bit of news that I saw, was that the Hot and Hazy update is available now. So that came out today as I record, so on the 20th. This is a new update that features the sandbox has been updated, and there's more bugs and stuff in there to fight against, and then there's also more of the area where it was like toxic has been revamped and added some extra stuff too. So it looked like there was more bugs that have been poisoned with fungus and stuff like that. So they're going to be a little more violent and attack you a little more and maybe a little more crazy. But there's new armor and all kind of new stuff added to it. So go check out that trailer if that's something you're interested in. If you're interested in Grounded, which you should be because it is a really good game and it just keeps getting better and better. But also you can just go check it out for yourself and play it since that update is available now. So that's one I'll eventually jump back into and give an update on. I think I totally missed the last update, so there's a good bit I need to catch up on in that game. But the little bit of bigger news, in my opinion, is the games that are coming to Game Pass in the next couple of weeks, and they added a ton of them this time. There was 11 games in total added, and some of these were games that have already been on there that are just coming to the PC, but most of them are brand new. And so the ones that were available by the time you're already going to hear this podcast, they came out I think on Wednesday, so the 19th, were Into the Pit and Outriders comes to PC. So Into the Pit is another ID at Xbox game. It's one I've actually played a little bit and one I'm going to talk about this week. So I'll jump into that one later instead of talking about it now. And then Outriders is available on the PC. So everybody that wanted to jump into that on PC, they're going to be able to do that now. So on the 21st, there's going to be three games that come out. And this is going to be on the day that the podcast comes out. So that's Dragon Ball Z Fighters, Echo Generation, and Everspace 2. So Dragon Ball Z Fighters is an experience with epic fights, destructible stages, and famous events ripped from the Dragon Ball anime. And so create your team from a huge cast of your favorite characters and battle it out in epic 3v3 fights. So this is one I'm pretty excited about. I was a huge Dragon Ball Z fan when I was a kid. I would love to just kind of play through that game and see what it's like. I'm not the biggest fighting game fan. You know, I've played a little bit of Smash Brothers, but that's definitely different. And but I did like Soul Calibur, and that might be a little more closely related to that. I heard some mixed reviews on that when the game came out, so we'll see what I think about it. But I'll definitely give that one a try. Echo Generation is another ID at Xbox game that's available day one with Game Pass. And it's described as spooky mysteries abound as you lead your ragtag gang to take on monsters and mechs to save your hometown. Unlock unique skills for your party through comic books and prepare for active turn-based battles and boss fights that will keep you on your toes. The developers of Riverbond dive into another stunning voxel adventure and face off with the extraterrestrials to find the true meaning of home and Echo Generation. So that's a turn-based game. Sounds kind of like an RPG. So maybe that one's going to be interesting. I'll let you know if I actually jump into that one or not. And if anybody on here likes that one, you can let me know, and maybe I'll be sure to check it out. Everspace 2 is a game that's going to be in game preview just on the PC, and that's also an ID at Xbox game. And it's a fast-paced single-player shooter, spaceship shooter, with RPG elements and loot, mining, and crafting. So that might be one you want to check out on the PC. But one you're definitely going to want to check out on the PC is Age of Empires 4. And that one's going to be on October the 28th. And that's available day one with Game Pass as well. So anybody that's ever played an Age of Empires game knows all about that. And I'm sure we'll be pumped for that. That's a big first party game for them to have on there. And also on the 28th, there are, let me see, the rest of the games that they're adding. That's Alan Wake's American Nightmare. That's on console and PC. That's a standalone experience in the Alan Wake universe. And so you're going to... this is another thrilling storyline. Hordes of creepy enemies, serious firepower, and beautiful Arizona locations. Combined with a fun and challenging new game mode makes this a must for Alan Wake veterans. And the perfect jumping off point for new players. So anybody that's... like that says, so if you're an Alan Wake fan, I'd jump into that. That just sounds like it's a Halloween-based thing right there. And then there's Backbone. This might be... yeah, I think this is the game I'm a little curious about. I'm definitely going to check this one out. But it's another ID at Xbox game, and it's only on the console. So, Raccoon Detective Howard Lorcher is not a hero. He can barely make rent, and yet he has stumbled across something so massive that it will shake the very fabric of society. Stunning visuals, an evocative soundtrack, and a daring narrative bring a dystopian Vancouver, BC, inhabited by animals to life in this highly anticipated post-noir adventure. Get to it, Detective. So that one was one of the ones they showed back, maybe at E3, that I was thinking this could be a really good game. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. And then Bassmasters Fishing 2022. I can't tell you much about bass games. That one's going to be on cloud, console, and PC. You know, I tried to play another fishing game on Game Pass, and I was not a fan of it. But maybe this one is a little more... I don't know, that other one I played was real glitchy and stuff, it seemed. Or maybe I just had no idea what I was doing. But maybe that one could be fun. And then there's Norguns Doppelganger Edition. This is on cloud, console, and PC. And it is a action platformer roguelike. Obscure in both gameplay and theme, Norguns is a riddle that demands sacrifice. Each run sees you parting from a black and white graveyard into an ever-changing gothic dungeon full of nightmares fleshed out in human viscera. Don't know that word. Surviving not only requires skill but style. So that might be one to check out if you like roguelikes. And then the last one is The Forgotten City, also on cloud, console, and PC. Travel 2,000 years into the past and relive the final days of a cursed Roman city where if one person sins, everyone dies. Only by questioning an intertwined community of colorful characters, cleverly exploiting the time loop, and making difficult moral choices, you can hope to solve this epic mystery. So that one also sounds exciting. I will definitely look at all these games. There's no way I'll be playing all of them, just because I can't fit all that in. But it seems like some interesting games. The more horror elements I'm going to avoid playing just because that is not my favorite, but there's plenty to be had there, even if you're not a horror fan. Now, there are some games leaving, as always, and these are leaving on Halloween, and so that it is 7 games in total. Carto, Celeste, Comanche, Eastshade, Five Nights at Freddy's, Knights and Bikes, and Unruly Heroes. I would definitely, if you don't have Celeste, that one was on Games of Gold forever ago, so I'll still have it. But if you didn't get it from then, and you don't own the game, I would definitely buy that one. That one is worth your time, and is a very good game in many ways. I played Carto a little bit, couldn't really jump into it. You know, when Tank was on here. He played Ishade a good bit, and it seemed interesting. I've never played it, but it was like pretty much Skyrim if you were just running around Skyrim and taking pictures of stuff. It's kind of what it sounded like with a bunch of fetch quests. So that one might be one to check out if you hadn't before it leaves. But definitely get that discount on Celeste if you don't own it and you haven't played it yet. You gotta at least go try it in these 10 or so days you're going to have before it leaves and to see if you would like to play the game. It's challenging but rewarding. And then the last little bit of news I have is not sad news. It's just a little, it's sad for Microsoft. But they were a little down on what their subscriber growth was projected. They were thinking it was going to grow, they projected it to grow at about 48%, but it was around 37.5% was the growth that they experienced. So like the last year they got like 15% over what they thought they were going to grow. So I guess they increased their projected range, but that just didn't happen. And it could happen in this last little quarter because they have a lot more first-party stuff coming out. This last quarter is going to be a pretty major addition to Game Pass, and they could probably see those numbers ramp up here in the end. But until then, I know they're going to be a little disappointed with those numbers, so I don't know what that could possibly mean for us that are subscribed. I don't think, like I said last week, I don't think they're looking to increase the price anytime soon. But that could be something to look into if they're not getting what they want to with the subscriber numbers. So hopefully that won't happen. And hopefully more people will join Game Pass because it is definitely the best value in gaming. No questions. So yeah, that's about all the important news that I thought would be worth mentioning. You know, there's always other stuff that's kind of random out there. But I thought that was some good stuff to talk about. And before we get into the main topic of today's episode. And I always like talking about the games that are coming and going. That's probably my favorite time of week for the podcast, or every other week, since that happens twice a month. But the main topic that we're going to get into today is these two new games. They're new to Game Pass. One of them came out on the 15th, and one of them came out on the 19th. And so I'm going to dive into those, just kind of my early reaction to those two games. And then hopefully these early impressions will help you know if the game is something that you'd be interested in playing. And the first one is The Good Life. This one is a sim game. Well, it's not exactly a sim game. It just kind of feels like a sim game. I don't know if you've ever played My Time in Portia. That kind of reminds me of it aesthetically. But I thought it was going to be a little more like that with meeting the villagers in the town and getting to know them better. And there still might be some more aspects of that, because I know there is somewhat, but it just hasn't been as much of that as it seems like in other games like Stardew Valley. But yeah, it feels a lot like a sim game, but it has more story elements than you would expect from most of those kind of games. And so I'm not sure if that's a good or bad thing at the moment. So maybe that gives you more drive to figure out what to do next. You know, you can get kind of lost in those kind of games and not push anything forward for a long time just because you're stuck doing like a little task, like in Stardew Valley, like growing your crops and stuff like that. So you just get stuck in that kind of loop instead of pushing a story forward. But this one gives you more concrete stuff to do. So if you get distracted, maybe this game is better for you. But yeah, it may have too much structure to get that feeling if you really like games that are really sim heavy. But the premise of the game is that you're a New York photographer sent to this small English town to find out its secrets and the mysteries of the town. Because it's, they say it a bunch of times when you start up the game, it's the happiest place on earth. So some mysterious person sent you there to figure out what's going on. And so the game, I played it for about 2 hours, and it took me quite a while to get to the meat of the game. because it was just teaching me kind of tutorial stuff through all that. And it was just one thing right after the other. And even though it taught me a bunch of stuff, it was a little vague with some stuff. So I don't know, like, there's some certain parts of the game that I think are pretty important. Like one bar, you have like a health, stamina, hunger bar. And then another one that it never described what that really is to me yet. And so that one went all the way down. So my stress was going up. And I hadn't figured out what to do about that yet. But yet, in the description of the game, it like gives you what I would say is a big reveal, like that kind of hooks you to the game, but it just says it right in the description of the game. But that happens like 2 hours into the game. So that's kind of weird for games today. Usually games just throw you right into it, or they try to get you right into the meat of the story as fast as possible, because we have there's so many games that can just hook you really fast now. It's kind of strange to me to have such a long intro. Also, like some gameplay parts of the games that you have the power to turn into a cat and dog and use different abilities for each one to kind of get you around the map and figure out some different ways to play. Like the cat can climb up certain parts of buildings, and the dog can like use its scent. It can pick up a scent and like track people down. And then also maybe it can fight animals and stuff that you need to. And then when you're a human, you can take pictures and complete missions with those pictures. And then there's like a off-brand Twitter where you can post those pictures. And the more likes they get and the more traction they get, the more money you can make from doing that. So instead of like in Stardew Valley, instead of dropping crops off, there's like these 5 hashtags that one of them can be like a garden. So you want to go around and take pictures of gardens and then post those and they can make money. And so that's something that you can do. I don't know. The game seems like it's going to be pretty tough to make money. I'm not sure how balanced it is with all that, just because the game seems like it could take a lot of time to get into all that. And so the game doesn't tell you everything you need to know instantly. And it's not good, like, you know, a good game design like Breath of the Wild will not tell you everything, but it kind of like allows you to figure that out and feel good about figuring it out. This has some stuff like not telling you when it needs to. Not that it's trying to not handhold, it's just like, I forgot to tell you about that. So hopefully you can figure out what that stuff does before it's too late. One thing I noticed about the game is the game's rated teen. It was weird. I got a weird message when I booted it up last time. It said it bumped it down to E10, but when I looked it up, it still said it was teen. But the language in the game's pretty intense for something that I would say is E10. So maybe it bumped up to teen from E10. I don't know. Because it's got a little bit of language in it and stuff. It kind of seems out of place, honestly, in the game. But it does have that. And so I wouldn't want, like, a little kid playing this game. It's not like it's the worst game ever, like, morally or anything. But it's definitely not for, say, like, a 8-9-year-old, for sure. But, let's see. So, yeah, as I was playing, I played maybe slightly more than 2 hours, and I think that hook that kind of caught me about 2 hours in actually might make me want to jump in some more. So I say that now. We'll see over the next few weeks if I played it or not, because I've said that plenty of times on here, and I've never gone back to those games. So we'll see if I actually go back to this one, and if y'all end up playing it and liking it and playing further along than me when I haven't played it for a while, just let me know. Tell me if you think it gets better or worse, and it's not worth my time. But yeah, if you like those kind of games, maybe that is a good one for you. It's a little different than what I was expecting. But it's not the most polished game for sure either. But it could be pretty good. One thing that seems crazy is the game map is just huge for what this game is. So I don't know. Hopefully there'll be better ways to travel around and get around the area, because it could just, like, if you're trying to walk and run to these places, it could take forever. And so we'll go into the next game, and that is Into the Pit. This one was added just yesterday for me as I record. And so I hadn't had as much time with it, but I did play it for maybe an hour or so. And so this is a fast-paced, first-person shooter, roguelike, but instead of guns, it's with magic. So, but it looks and kind of feels like a 90s computer game. You know, I think of games like Doom or some of the earlier Elder Scrolls games. It kind of has that feeling, but it's so much faster. Like, the movement in the game feels pretty good. It feels really fast. It's a little like you're on ice or something, too. Maybe not ice is the best way to describe it. It's just, like, I could probably, like, lower my sensitivity a little bit. Maybe the sensitivity on the, just when you boot up the game, the standard sensitivity might be up a little high for people on console. But it's not unplayable. And it may be something that you need, because it is a very fast-paced game. And so you start off the game in a little village, and it's really like a dark aesthetic and stuff. And so it's like the most dreary town you could possibly imagine. Just cobblestone, and I don't know if it's raining, but it feels like it is. It just is very low lighting. And the graphics definitely aren't the best. It's kind of weird. It's like it reminds me of, it may be what a game from the 90s, like, you remember it looking like. It doesn't look that bad, but it's not great either. So yeah, in this village there's shopkeepers and stuff, but none of them are going to open up for you until you save a certain number of villagers. So there's like 40 something villagers that are lost in the pit, and you got to go find them. And then once you go find them and release them, they'll come back to the village, and you'll be able to talk to different shopkeepers and stuff so that you can progress the game even further. The movement's super important in the game, and you just want to keep moving, play fast, and that part of the game is really fun. How fast-paced the game is, or how fast it can be, because you can just hide back and take it slow too if you are more cautious about it. And then you have this, so when you start out each run, you get to pick a spell that you're going to put in each hand. So you have two spells to put in, or one spell each for your right and left hand, that there you get to walk up and select, like, in between three random spells that you get to pick for the run for each hand, and then a 9 combat skill that you can accept too, like maybe more defense or something like that. And so you start out each run with those randomly selected skills, and then you fight your way down to a boss fight at the end of each run. But so you're going to go down a few levels into the pit, and each time you beat like a room, there's 4 rooms for each level, each time you beat one you get another random skill. Like, let's say for your attack in your right hand, you might slow down enemies. And in the next room, you'll get a boost that, like, poisons enemies with your left-hand attack. Stuff like that. And it's all randomized. Like, you get to pick in between, like, 3 different random boosts on each time you defeat a room. So the game changes up. Like, if you just get to start out on this one particular dungeon, but it changes up by letting you go through different dungeons. So as you progress and play more, you can unlock the ability to, like, get a different key to go down into a different dungeon. But I haven't been able to unlock one yet. I did play one run and I completed it on my first try, so that does tell me it's not the hardest game either, because I've played other roguelikes that I've played a ton of runs and haven't beaten them. I think Hades is probably the only other game I actually completed a run on, and that took me a ton of tries. But I don't think this game is going for, like in those games, you know, you go through a bunch of different biodomes before you get to the final thing and you're able to actually finish a run. This one's a little different in that it's not looking for you to complete the whole thing, which I did play Children of Morta, and it's similar to that. It's like different sections. You know, you do complete a run in the Children of Morta when you go through like three different sections and fight a boss battle, then you're done with that section. So like you're not done with the game. There's more sections to go in the future, but it's more set up in that way instead of like in Hades where you're trying to go through one big run and one try. But yeah, I like the game, but it did, going back to Hades, like it wanted me to play that because it's a roguelike I like much more than any other roguelike. So just playing this game made me want to play Hades more. So I don't know, that doesn't speak well of this game, but it is totally, it's different too, a different kind of gameplay and a different setup. So if you like that old school feel, you're really gonna like this game, I would think, at least the startup of the game, because it has that feel to it, but it also has some updated things to it as well, like especially the speed of the game. Like that's one thing that felt impressive. Like it was fast, but didn't feel overwhelming. One thing I noticed about the game is going through my one run, I had to restart it one time because I had a bug that just popped up, and like I was just, all I could see is if I looked up straight in front of me, and my spells were just shooting straight up in the air. And so it just kind of froze on me like that, and I had to restart just exit out of the game and restart it. And so that was the only time it crashed on me, and the only bug that I ran into. But I did see other people complaining about that happening to them as well. But a lot of that was on Twitter, so who knows, it's probably Twitter negativity. But it doesn't mean that there aren't bugs, because I did run into one. And I'm not a person to find bugs very often. Somehow, I guess I just play games like they're supposed to be played, and not going off the beaten path too much, so I don't run into bugs as much as other people do. But yeah, those are the two games that I really dug into this week, kind of the new games that I wanted to look at, or at least new to Game Pass. I know that The Good Life, it was released day one. I say I know that. I looked up, tried to figure it out. It was a little weird to figure out. But both of these games, it seemed like they were released on Game Pass, like right when they were released on other stuff. So these are new games, and they're new to Game Pass. So I felt like it was something good to talk about since it's up to date. And hopefully, like if anybody's thinking about playing either one of those games, that'll give you a good sense of just if you want to take the time to really dive into them or not. Because both these games, I could see me having a bigger chance of playing The Good Life a little more than Into the Pit. But I liked both games. They weren't bad. But other than that, I have played a few other games this week on Game Pass. And the Riftbreaker was one that I was pretty excited about. I played it for, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 minutes. I enjoyed it, but I just didn't quite. Like, that game was not hand-holding at all and wasn't telling you what to do. And so I was a little lost at first. And by the time I kind of figured out some of the controls, it just wasn't even telling me really the controls. It would tell me, oh, you need to build this, but it wouldn't tell me how to do it. So I just had to mess around until I figured it out. By the time I figured everything out, like the first wave of enemies was coming, and it was pretty tough. I think I made it through that first wave, but like a lot of my stuff broke down, so I just had to start rebuilding. So I enjoyed that game, but I don't know. That's one. We'll see if I get back into that. And then I played one game of Knockout City. I was hoping to just play something quick and easy and enjoy myself for a little bit, but I lost bad. So it wasn't quite enjoyable as I was hoping. And then I did play a little more Hades, making another run with a weapon that I haven't completed a run on yet. And it was going pretty well. Just hadn't got too far in that one. And then I played... That was this past week. I played Apex for a long time one night. And ended up winning like 7, 8, maybe 9 games. Which was insane. That never happens in Apex for me. So that was a really good night of Apex. And I guess that's why I punish myself with losing over and over for months at a time, it seems like, is for hopefully having one of those good nights. And this past Friday was one of those good nights. So we'll see. I'll probably punish myself a lot more until I have another one of those. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the episode. That was something a little new that I've never done before. Just looking at some of the brand new games. I actually had a chance to play some of the brand new ones and get to dive into them. So I thought that would be something good to do. But if you want to contact me and let me know if you want to try out either one of those games or if you've tried them out more, just let me know what you think about them yourself. And you can reach me at PlayerPassPod on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram. Just try Twitter first because that's where I'll be most likely. Or you could email me directly at playerpass.xboxgamepass@gmail.com. And then also, I'll leave that stuff, I'll leave that email and the Twitter in the description. And then also, you can leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because that really helps me out. And also, just word of mouth helps me out too. So if you've enjoyed it, just let somebody know that you enjoy a podcast, and that hopefully they can enjoy it too. But just continue to reach out, just let me know what y'all are enjoying, and hopefully you'll have a good week, and I will see you back here next week.